As a preacher, as a Christian, and just as a human being, sometimes I think, and sometimes that may not be a good idea, but I've often wondered how many of us living today, if we had lived in the first century, like we talked about with Bible class this morning and talking about the life of Christ, how many people would have gone out to see Jesus and hear Jesus? And would we have gone out for the same reason that a lot of those did, just to see something or get our bellies filled? Would we have been receptive to the preaching that we read about in the first century? Would we have listened to men like John the Baptist? Would we have listened to a fisherman like Peter? Would we have listened to a weak-looking old man by the name of Paul, who was a very prominent Jew? Most of us, without a doubt, would probably say, "Of course I would, because I listen to him now." But you didn't catch my question. If you lived then, in the first century, would you have gone out and listened to these men? But maybe that's just because what they taught has become socially acceptable today. And more often than not, their teaching is presented today in 2021 in a very non-offensive manner. The radio program this morning, we talked about the preaching of the gospel in one point of it. And we talked about how preaching of old that I grew up listening to was hellfire and brimstone preaching. The preacher would slap the podium. They would get very emotional about the message and they would cry. And the response a lot of times was overwhelming. And now, people get upset if you talk about people of different denominations and different faiths. You can't talk about those people. You won't ever win them over. Well, you won't ever win them over with fluff and stuff either. But I think the gospel is more socially acceptable today, at least in some manner. But how was the truth originally presented? Did John the Baptist and Jesus not call those that were in opposition to him hypocrites, brood of vipers? In what manner of men delivered these messages? Well, that's just a carpenter's son. That's just a fisherman. Oh, he's a tax collector. We can't go hear him. But yet that's the type of men that preach the gospel. If we had been there in the first century, would we have even believed the message that they were preaching? I'd like to say that I would hope I would have been there listening to them. But I didn't live back then. And I don't know. If somebody were to come today, and I know the Bible says there's no more messages to come, but if somebody was to stand on the courthouse square up here today and preach that Christ is coming, would we at least listen to him, or we would say, no. If we didn't know that we were living in the last days and somebody was preaching Christ on the courthouse steps, would we go? What if they were performing miracles? People that were deaf could now hear. People that were blind could now see. What if that was actually happening? Now, I'm not talking about the televangelist. I'm talking about a true, actual miracle. In this lesson, I want to challenge us to think along these lines. And imagine then, would we have believed these men that I've just mentioned? Because John the Baptist was considered to be a hermit. This is who proclaimed the coming of the kingdom, the coming of Christ. He did his preaching in the wilderness. He didn't come into town and preach. He didn't go to the courthouse step. He preached down on the Jordan River, forcing people to come out to him to hear what he had to say. We read about that in Matthew chapter 3 in the first two verses. If you wanted to hear what John had to say, then you had to go to him. There's no television, there's no radio, no Facebook, none of that stuff, no internet. So if you wanted to hear what this man was preaching, you had to get up off your couch and go listen to him. But then chances are we wouldn't have gone because somebody would have come back and said, you know, that man dresses funny. He don't dress like you and I. He looks like he comes straight out of the woods. He's dressed in camel hair with a leather girdle. And he eats funny too. He eats locusts. Locust and wild honey, verse 4 of Matthew 3. But he's not very nice in his preaching either. I don't know if I want to go hear him or not. He might hurt my feelings. Because he criticized the religious people of the day. He called them a brood of vipers in Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. The text here says, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region round about the Jordan went out to hear him. And were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So some did go. We know that. Verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said, brood of vipers, you just a bunch of snakes who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. You're not coming out here to hear the message preached. Who told you about the wrath of God that was coming? Why are you here? They wanted to come and see this crazy man. This wild man, as it were. But what about us? Would we have gone out to hear this man who dressed funny, who talked funny, who ate funny, and was mean to people? I kind of doubt we would have listened to him. I don't think a lot of us like hearing it today. If we balk today at traveling anywhere to hear the preaching of the gospel, then we would not have walked outside the city of Jerusalem to hear John. And sometimes that's the case with us today. Some have trouble attending twice on Sunday. And you expect us to go out and hear this man that dresses funny, talks funny, an uneducated man that eats wild food. We won't even drive to another town nowadays to hear a gospel preacher. But consider what Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 42. He's talking about Solomon here and the queen of the south. He says she will rise up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. He said she came from the ends of the earth to check Solomon out in his wisdom. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Now, if she was willing to do that, shouldn't we be willing to attend twice on Sunday? 3 days a week. 4 hours a week is all that the Lord is really requiring of you. Now, granted, we've got a gospel meeting coming up, and we're going to have different speakers. And you know what? Some of them are going to be uneducated men. Some of them are going to be very countrified in their speech. We can't go listen to them. They might hurt my feelings. Boy, we better fire them right now. Let's just stop the meeting because I don't want anybody's feelings to get hurt. What do you think, Danny? You think we'd stop the meeting, Charles? Albert, because we don't want people's feelings to get hurt, do we? Jesus said that a greater than Solomon is here. Why can't we do what she did? If we tend to judge people by their clothes, the clothes they wear, well, that's not good enough, or that's... It's easy to be affected by a dress for success philosophy. He looks like a preacher. He doesn't look like a preacher. But we need to remember God's perspective. When Samuel was taken out to the household of Jesse to anoint the next king after Saul, remember he went through all of the sons of Jesse. And Solomon, Samuel kept saying, well, surely this is one. No, 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 no. Is there any more sons? And Samuel kept telling the Lord, surely this is the one. And finally God told him in chapter 16, verse 17, and I'll paraphrase, I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. I look at the heart. But we can't go hear John the Baptist because he offends people with his preaching. And if we get upset when preachers offend us or point out our faults, then I can't go back. Some would have preachers to never preach a negative sermon. You need to just preach love, Jeff. But even Jesus demonstrated that sometimes the occasion calls for strong measures. In Matthew 23, in verses 13 through 15, Jesus said, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, one convert. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. They're hypocrites. Jesus called them out on it. In other places, his disciples would go, well, Master, don't you know you offended them? You hurt their feelings by talking about them like that. I don't much believe we would have gone out to hear John the Baptist. Or how about this hypocrite that was a blue-collar man, a hillbilly hypocrite? The Apostle Peter was just that. He had country ways about him. And, you know, in a way, that's me. I'm just an old country boy. And I use southernisms a lot, and sometimes it gets me in trouble, and sometimes you don't understand what I'm talking about. But when Peter would talk a lot of times, when he preached, it demonstrated that he didn't have any formal religious training. And I don't either. My religious training is almost 30 years of hard knocks. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. They ain't supposed to be this smart. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Remember? This same Peter, who they realized had been with Jesus, the same one that denied Christ in Matthew 26. And he was a hypocrite, because in Galatians 2, verses 11 through 13, Paul called him out. He had gone to the household of Cornelius, converted them, and in Acts 10, verse 34, I think it is, he pointed out that of a truth I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons. He's allowed the Gentiles to come into the fold now. And yet when the Jews from Jerusalem come up, Peter stepped over. I don't want them to see me around these Gentiles. Paul called him and said, you're a hypocrite. You went and preached to the Gentiles, but now you don't want to be associated with them because here come the Jews. Here come the Christians. And you don't want people to know that you were with them. No, I don't think we'd go hear Peter either. Because there's a lot of times congregations, people in particular, expect the preacher to have a formal education before they'll ever accept him as a preacher. In some churches, a preacher is required to have a degree to be considered acceptable. But you know, if he's got a degree, he's got a man's head full of knowledge. A knowledge that has come from man a lot of times. And the wrong kind of learning can be a dangerous thing. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 1. In chapter 1, he pointed out that many were saying, I was baptized of Paul, I am of Cephas, I am of Apollos, and he says that that is division. You put emphasis on who baptized you and whose lesson you listened to. He said, that's division. He says, was I crucified for you? No. And he said in verse 10 that there should be no division or schisms among you. But here again, if we're not willing to give others a chance, then we never would have gone out and listened to Peter. He was a hypocrite, remember? He failed. He denied the Savior. We wouldn't hear anybody that did that because he made mistakes in his life. And he might fail us, especially if they've done it more than once. If Peter had been treated like we sometimes treat fallen preachers today, do you think he might have remained an apostle or had just said, I give up? Fortunately, the early church took to heart what Jesus taught about Peter and forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18 and Luke 17. How many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? Seven times? 70 times? Seven times 70 times. An unlimited time. Unlimited amount of times I am to forgive my brother. But there has to be an asking there. And then what about this notorious nerd, as some like to call him, the Apostle Paul? Brilliant man, highly educated. Here's the type of man you want for a preacher. Oh, but wait a minute. The Apostle Paul described himself to young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13 as a prosecutor, a persecutor of those of the way, and a blasphemer of God. No. We can't go hear him. I don't care how much education he's got, even though he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, he was in a prominent position in the Sanhedrin. I can't go hear him. He wasn't even a good speaker, he said in 1 Corinthians 2. I'm not a good preacher, he said. I'm not fluent. And he even described himself in 2 Corinthians 2 and 10 and verse 10 as being weak in appearance. A feeble, frail-looking man. That might have been his thorn in the flesh. His thorn in the flesh might have been his past, whatever it was. But no, we couldn't go hear Paul. Even the brethren in Jerusalem were afraid of him when he obeyed the gospel and tried to associate himself with that church. And Barnabas had to give him a good report. But if we can't and aren't willing to give others another chance who fell us, especially if it's more than once, then I doubt we would hear Paul. And I doubt we would have kindly received someone like Paul. If we hold their pre-Christian life, if you were, against them, I remember what you used to do. I remember how you used to live. But I'm a Christian now. My sins have been washed away just like yours. My past has been forgiven me just like yours. But Paul, he put those in prison of the way to be led to their death. Such people cannot believe in the power of the gospel to transform lives if I'm willing to hold on to that person's pre-Christian life and not give them a chance. But you have to consider also what Paul did for the people of Corinth. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 9, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Remember who's writing this. A persecutor of God's people, a blasphemer of God, and he says, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, or sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, revilers, extortioners, will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But wait a minute, Paul. I remember your life. He says, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. Well, I know, Paul, I was, but I remember your past. Sometimes we live a double-edged life, two-sided, two-faced. I want what's good for me, but I'm not willing to give others the benefit of the doubt sometimes. And if we don't want to hear preachers whose sermons present a lack of polish, you know, I've talked to some of you here, and you and I know there are preachers that can use a $10 word when a $2 word will work just as well. You know what I mean by that? You don't have to have a $10 word, but there are some preachers that think that that's what they get paid to do, is to use their education and show you just how smart they are. You know, I read one time that the King James Version Bible was written on a fifth grader's level. So you have to ask yourself, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Well, some of these preachers like to think they are, and they want to show you how smart they are. I used to go to some lectures up in Bowling Green. Marilyn and I did, and Mom and Daddy would go with us, and we'd take the kids. And there was a preacher, and I'm not going to call his name because some of you would probably know him. He's a well-educated man, Greek, Latin, probably some Hebrew, knows it all. And if you don't know this man, you know some just like him. All the preachers that were allowed to speak or asked to speak that week were allotted a time, 50 minutes. Well, I was asked to speak. Well, I didn't have the name that he had. They put him in a conference room this size. And they put me in like a classroom size over here. Well, I got done, and we all left. It was lunchtime, and when we were leaving, we walked by his door, and he's still going strong, past his 50-minute mark. Because he's the educated preacher, and that's the way the ball rolls sometimes. But we want preachers that are polished in their speech. I don't have that, and I guarantee you that the last week of October, I know all of these men that are preaching. I've heard some of them preach. I've known one of them all of his life. I've known one of them all of his Christian life. And I've heard him preach. You ain't going to get a polished sermon, but you're going to get the truth. You'll get the truth, and that's what you expect. I don't care how shiny the sermon is or how shiny, spit shine the words are, as long as it's the truth. Many people won't go hear preachers, though, because, well, he's too young. He's inexperienced. Or he's not an eloquent speaker. His words don't flow like music to my ears. You know, there are preachers you can go listen to, and 20 minutes sounds like an hour. You feel like you've sat there, your back's done sore, and you're ready for it to be over with. And when they get done, you look and you go, that was only 20 minutes. And then you get some that you listen to, and they can go for a full hour. And when you get up and you look at the clock, and you go, man, I thought he only preached about 20 minutes. The truth is what we need. And yet smooth words and flattering speech oftentimes are used to deceive people. Paul says in Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Just preach the truth. That's all any of us ought to expect. That's all any of us should want, is just preach the truth, simply preached. It doesn't have to be some big flamboyant sermon. But if we tend to judge people by their physical appearance, then Paul's not the one we'd go hear. You know, these preachers coming up at the end of October, I can tell you right now there's a couple of them that look about like me. You know, this handsome, not hourglass figure. The one that'll be here on Monday night, he's got a big belly. The one that'll be here on Thursday night, he works out. He's slim and trim. Friday night, be a slim and trim young fella. But you'll get a different taste, a different flavor of preaching all week long. And I pray that you'll be here every night. But if we have a tendency to judge people by the way they look, oh, he's too big. He's too tall. Remember Ken Welliver? Danny told me he was coming. He said, we're going to put him in the cabin. I said, Danny, I've seen your cabin. This man can't sleep in a twin-size bed. He's 6'7". So we had to put him in a hotel room. But we may look at him, oh, he's too tall. I don't like tall preachers. Well, he's too short. I don't like short preachers. He's too heavy. You know, he must be eating too good. They must be paying him well if he's got that big of a waistline. And we can always find excuses for why we don't want to listen to men, just like these three that we've talked about. There would be people that didn't want to go hear Jesus. Again, we need to remember God's perspective on things. When Samuel went to anoint David, he looked at his brothers, and God says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. These men coming in October, from my perspective, their heart is in their job of preaching the truth. Where's your heart at? Is your heart one that wants to come every night and hear the preaching of the truth? What I'm suggesting here is that how we perceive people today is a strong indication as to whether we would have even listened to men like John, Peter, Paul, or even Jesus. We look at Matthew 13 in verses 54 through 58, and Jesus, we read here that when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, remember, he's gone home. He's preaching. And they look at Jesus and they go, wow. Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? I remember him when he was growing up. Is not his mother called Mary and his brother James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, aren't they here with us? Where did this man get all these things? So they were offended because they knew him. They knew Jesus and they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You know, really, it would have been easy for y'all to say, no, we're not going to hire Jeff. We don't want him. We want somebody from the outside because Jeff grew up in this town. I remember Jeff when he was a little bitty thing. Some of you do. We can't have him here as the preacher. He's a local yokel, as they would say. And yet, while we would like to think that we would have been quick to listen and believe the messages of the first century, we might have acted differently. In this lesson, I hope that we appreciate the importance of looking beyond the messenger and how his message might be presented, and look at the message itself, and only the message. You know, but there's another way to determine if we would have believed them back then. Would we have obeyed them today? Let me re-ask that. Have you obeyed them today? Have you obeyed the message of Peter and Paul and Christ? It may just be speculation on our part to say, well, yeah, I would have listened to those men back in the first century. But one thing is for sure. If we're unwilling to obey them today, then we wouldn't have obeyed them then. So the question is, have you obeyed them? Have you put their message to heart? Have you done what Jesus said? Have you repented of your sins? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Have you confessed Christ? Are you living a Christian life, a faithful life? Or have you gone back into the world? You see, the gospel message is simple. If you want to go to heaven, you have to put Christ on in baptism. And we've made arrangements for that. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, this is your opportunity to be baptized, washing away your sins, washing away the old man and putting on the new man. But you may have done that and gone back into the world. You've yielded to temptation. And this is your opportunity as well to set your life back on the right track. Don't look at the messenger. Listen to the message. Listen to God's word. Because that's all we need to hear. That's all we need to preach. And I pray that you've heard God's message today and that you're willing to respond. So if you're here this